You're listening to another inspiring teaching from Devonport Church of Christ, Tasmania, Australia. For more information about our church, please log on to www.devonportcoc.com.au.
Today, we're entering the final 2 weeks of our series, This Is Us. We've been exploring the anchor statements that help to describe who God has called us to be as Devonport Church of Christ. And over the past 5 weeks, we've looked at some of these anchor statements. I'd encourage you, if you've missed any of the sermons over the past few weeks, please go check them out on YouTube. Listen to the podcast on our website. Because over this series, we have seen that we are a church that wants to be passionately pursuing Jesus. He's the reason and the center for everything that we do. We want to seek Jesus. We want to share who Jesus is with the people around us, but also to pursue being more like him. We've seen that we are a church that believes in connecting communities. As a church, we are a family. We are a community of believers. We don't just attend a building or a service, but instead we are engaged as the church. We are engaged as the very hands and feet of Jesus. We follow in Jesus' footsteps, and we go out with people to connect with them in the community where they are. Last week, Blake shared how we are a church that is releasing compassion. Jesus was regularly overcome with compassion, with that Greek word that I'm not even going to try and pronounce this morning. But it was that gut-wrenching emotion as he came face to face with people's needs. And as a church, we are called to have eyes to see people's needs, to act upon those needs with the compassion that Jesus had. Excuse me. Now, before I share the last anchor statement today, I want to remind you that these things that we've been looking at, they are aspirational. They are describing who we want to be as a church. They are describing who God is calling us to be as a church. We are a work in progress. But this is us. This is the us that God is calling us to be in this place and in this city. And our final anchor statement that we're going to be looking at over the next 2 weeks is transforming lives. Now, when I talk about transforming lives for us as a church, we're not talking about the kind of self-help stuff that you might find in a bookshop or on YouTube. This is not diet tips or workout plans, because I'll be honest, I don't know much about those things. Transforming lives is talking about a transformation of our character. This is about lives that are far from God becoming close to God. John 10:10, Jesus tells us, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus wants to transform us from living lives that are full of defeat, lives that are full of failure, to lives that are full. He wants us to have an abundant life. And this is the transforming lives that God cares about. And the Gospels are full of examples of transformed lives as Jesus had encounters with them. From the disciples who spent every minute of every day with Jesus, to those who just encountered Jesus briefly on the street, to Saul who had an encounter with the risen Christ on the road to Damascus, they are stories of people whose lives were transformed from an encounter. Encounters with Jesus dramatically changed people's lives in the Bible, and that same power of transformation is here in the church for us today. God's heart and his desire is that people's lives would be transformed. I want you to just stop for a moment and think. What is it in your life that needs to change? What is holding you back from following God? What is it that is in your life that is stopping you from actually being able to live out these anchor statements that we've talked about over the past few weeks? What is it in your life that needs to be transformed? Because it is these things that transforming lives deals with. And the statement that sits under this anchor that I want to explore today says this. We see our church as a place where growing people change and where people take personal responsibility for that change. Our church is a place where people grow and change. We don't want you to come to church and sit here for an hour on Sundays for a year or 5 years or 50 years, only to walk out the doors as the exact same person you were when you started. This is a place where growing people change. When something is alive and healthy, it grows. We see it in plants. We see it in animals. We see it in people. I have a photo here of when I was in about grade 2 or 3. Thank you. You're now allowed to go, "Oh, isn't he cute?" I will also say, I wasn't told to pose like that. Yeah. That was my choice, but you know. Now, I have grown and I have definitely changed from here in some ways. I'm not just talking about the fact that that kid is cute and I'm not so much. It's not just my appearance that has changed. Who I am, my very character has changed. As I've gotten older in life, as I've encountered Jesus more and more, my life has changed. And I can tell you right now that if you told the me in this picture that in 20 years I would be a youth pastor and I would be teaching people about God, I would have looked at you like you were crazy. God has transformed who I am. He has transformed my life and my character. And the thing that I love to do more than anything else is to help get other people excited about God, to share who he is with them. But just as much as our church is a place where people grow and change, we see our church as a place where people take personal responsibility for that change. And this idea of personal responsibility is what I want to focus on today as we explore John chapter 5, the healing at the pool of Bethesda. John 5 verses 1 to 10 say this. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jewish leader said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." A little bit of context about the story. In Jerusalem, there is a pool called Bethesda. And that name means house of mercy. And at this pool, the water would occasionally be stirred. It would stir and move and mix. And it was the belief that the first person who managed to get into the water after that stirring would be healed. And so people would gather there at the house of mercy, waiting for a miracle. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed, they were all waiting there to be the first one to get into the water. And the invalid in this story is no different. He'd been stuck for 38 years, almost certainly over half of his life. Now, why he was an invalid, we don't know, but we know that he wasn't born that way. But for almost 40 years, he was lying on a mat, waiting for a miracle, hoping to change. And Jesus comes to the area and he notices the invalid, because Jesus always sees the individuals in the crowd. He sees with eyes of compassion, so he goes up to the invalid and he starts talking to him. And he learns how long he has been ill, and then he asks a question. In verse 6, Jesus asks, "Do you want to get well?" Now I can just imagine the look of horror on the disciples' faces at this point. You know when somebody in the group asks a question that you go, "You're not allowed to ask that. You just can't say that." Jesus, this is an absurd question. Of course he wants to get well. That's not how you introduce yourself to someone. That's not how you start up a conversation. This guy is lying by the pool at the house of mercy. He is waiting for a miracle. He's hoping for a miracle. And you ask him, "Do you want to get well?" But the man's answer reveals so much, because it tells us that this man was stuck. This guy wanted to grow. He had just lost sight of how to make that happen. His answer was focused on the fact that he had no one there to push him into the pool. Nicely, of course. But the fact that he was still lying there by the pool meant that he still wanted to change. See, this wouldn't have been a great area for begging. The pool was where they would take the sheep to the temple for sacrifices, and there were too many other sick people gathered around. Other people would probably have avoided the area. And yet the invalid stayed at the house of mercy, waiting for a miracle, waiting for mercy from God. I don't know about you guys, but I know what it's like to be stuck, to have become stagnant, to no longer be growing, to be facing the same battles again and again, day after day, and to be defeated again and again. Maybe that describes seasons in your life. Maybe that describes a season that you're in right now. You may be stuck with mental health struggles. Maybe you're battling with pornography. Maybe you're hating the way that anger is ruining your relationships. Maybe you're feeling stuck in your relationship with God. You want to grow, but you're just stuck in that same place. We know we should be growing, but often we lose sight of how. We lose sight of how to actually get out of the place that we're in. And a big reason for that is our mindsets get locked onto one way out. The invalid's mind was set and he was focused on he needed to get into the pool to be healed. Here he was talking to Jesus, the master of mercy. He needed to change his mindset to see the options and the opportunities that God was putting in front of him. Because God didn't want him to just wait for somebody else to do the work for him. God wanted him to be part of what happened. What is it in your battle that you have gotten so focused on there being just one way out, that you're unable to see the options that God has around you? Because we all have times where we're stuck. We all have times where we are stuck in the one place where we feel like we're not growing. But the good news is we don't have to remain stuck. That invalid didn't stay stuck, but to get out, we have to take personal responsibility for the growth. We have to change our mindset, and that means we need to ask the same question that Jesus did. Do you want to get well? This guy had been sick and stuck for 38 years. The longer that we are in that place where we are stagnant and not growing, the more we lose our desire to keep fighting. We begin to get comfortable with where we are. We get comfortable in being stuck. We get comfortable just waiting for other people to fix things for us. And if we can get comfortable being stuck, if we can get comfortable in that place that we are in, then that means to get well means we have to endure discomfort. Beginning to grow and change will require us to stretch. It will involve uncomfortable things. And that's because healing comes with a cost. Jesus asked this guy, "Do you want to get well?" Because Jesus knew that if he did, there would be consequences for this guy. Healing would mean that he could no longer rely on the generosity of others in order to get what he needed to survive. He'd have to actually go and earn it himself. No more handouts from people. No more mercy from people. Instead, he was facing responsibility. This guy had known a life of begging for 38 years. For him to be well, his entire life was going to be flipped upside down. Everything would change. This would be hard. And the same principle applies to us as well. If we want to get well, there is a cost that comes with that. Because saying yes to one thing, no matter how good that thing is, means that we have to say no to so many other things. Can I be honest with you? I really hate that lesson. I struggle with that lesson. I've been learning that lesson for many years now, and I don't like it. But it doesn't change the fact that it's true. There is a cost to decisions. There is a cost to getting well. There is a cost to saying yes, and it means saying no to so many other things. Maybe you're somebody who wants to grow spiritually. Maybe you've recognized that for you, getting well is realizing that you need to spend time with God, not just corporately here at church, but you need to spend time with God during your week. There's a cost to that. Maybe that cost is saying no to an extra hour of sleep in the morning so you can actually get up and have that time. Or it's saying no to watching another episode of your TV show or a movie. It means saying no to reading the book that you want to read. It means saying that that housework or that job that you want to get done has to wait. Maybe it is even saying no to your spouse or to your kids or to your friends, so that you can have that time. There is a cost that comes with healing. Maybe for you, the cost is actually admitting that you have a problem with your anger and you need to ask for help. Maybe it is being vulnerable and asking someone to keep you accountable with that thing that you just keep falling back into. Maybe in your battle with mental health, the cost that you need to face is realizing that talking to your GP, talking to a professional, accepting medication is not defeat in the battle, but instead it is the first step to getting well. If you want to get well, there is a cost that comes with that. There is a cost that is part of that. Saying yes to getting well means paying the cost. And so the question that Jesus asked, "Do you want to get well?" That's important. Because if you don't have a desire to get well, if you don't want to get well, you are just going to continue to lie there. Verses 8 and 9 say this, "Then Jesus said to him, 'Get up, pick up your mat and walk.' At once the man was cured, he picked up his mat and walked." Those words, get up, that's an imperative. That means it is a command. Jesus is literally commanding the invalid to stand up, to get up, to be part of the transformation. He commands him to pick up his mat, that thing that he had been lying on for so long, the mat that represented him being stuck. Get up off it and walk. So many times we see a mercy and a gentleness in Jesus as he heals people. But Jesus always gives people what they need. When Jesus spoke to the Pharisees, he loved them. That's why he was blunt with them. That's why he was trying to shake them out of the box that they were in so that they realized that maybe they didn't know God the way they thought they did. And this story is no different. Jesus commands the man because he wanted him to take responsibility for his healing. This guy was stuck and needed to become unstuck. He wanted healing, but he didn't know how. And this situation helps us to understand that we need to act. We need to actually step into our healing. The church is not a day spa. This is not a place to just sit back and let other people make you look prettier. This is not a place where you just sit back and let someone else exfoliate the dead skin off your feet to transform you. The church is more like a gym. Not that I have a lot of personal experience going into gyms, but I have a little. And I know that walking into a gym and just looking around will not change you. Trust me, I've tried it. Doesn't work. You have to actually step onto the machines. You have to choose to participate in the classes. You have to go and to engage with the machines to be transformed by the gym. Jesus commanded this man to stand up. He had to stand up so that he could be healed. Not only do we have to want to get well, we have to take responsibility to step into the healing. That's why Jesus asked the man, "Do you want to get well?" Because if he didn't want to, if that guy really didn't want to get well, because he had been stuck for so long that he had lost that desire to change, he was so comfortable there on his mat, the man could have just sat there. Every time somebody has an encounter with Jesus, they have the opportunity to leave changed or unchanged. James and John, the disciples, could have turned Jesus down when he came up to them as they were mending the nets. He invited them to be fishers of men. He could have turned them down and said, no, we'll stick to fishing in the sea, thanks. Saul could have chosen to stay in the life that he was living after his encounter on the road to Damascus. This man could have stayed on his mat and just looked with utter confusion on his face at Jesus as he tells him to stand up. But I can't walk. Jesus is desiring for your life to be transformed. He has broken the chains that hold you in bondage. But we have a responsibility to actually choose to step into that. God gives us the heart. He gives us the desire to be transformed. But we have to choose to accept the cost that comes with that. We have to take the responsibility to step into the healing. This is not a self-help message. This is not just believing that good things are going to come to you and that they will. This is not about sending positive vibes out into the universe and getting healing back. As a church, we believe that it is God who gives us the capacity and the ability to transform our lives. It is through God that we are transformed, through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, through the work of Holy Spirit in our hearts. But this is not something that we just sit back and let God do it to us. We have to choose to act. We need to choose to step into it. We get stuck. We know what we need to do to be healed, but there's a gap between knowing it and doing it. We can know what will heal us all we like, but unless we choose to step into it, knowing does nothing. I love the story in Mark of the woman who was bleeding for 12 years. In the middle of the crowd, she is determined. She knows what she needs to do. All she has to do is touch the edge of Jesus' cloak. If she can just touch the tassel On the edge of his cloak, she will be healed. So she pushes through the crowd and she reaches Jesus. She reaches out and touches his cloak and she is healed. Jesus stops and looks for her. But what I love about this story, she knew she needed Jesus. In order to be well, she needed Jesus. She didn't wait hoping Jesus might come across her. She sought him out. She pushed her way through the crowd to reach him because she knew that transformation came from Jesus. She didn't just wait on the side of the street. She sought him out. She stepped into it. She pushed through the crowd. Her transformed life came from Jesus. She wanted to be well, so she did something to make it happen. We are a church where growing people change and where people take personal responsibility for that growth. God is wanting to transform your life, but he's not going to just do it to you. We have to want it. We have to take responsibility for making it happen. We have to choose to step into the healing. There will be a cost. There will be pain. There will be discomfort. Saying yes to getting well means we have to say no to so many other things. Saying yes to getting well means we have to say no to using the excuses that we are so comfortable using. But it is what God wants for us. So get up, pick up your mat, and walk.